called Ministers of Grace. It's the unauthorized Shakespearean parody of Ghostbusters. So it is the story that we all know and love. But the author, Jordan Montell, has done a tremendous job of translating it into Shakespearean English. And there's references to other Shakespearean plays in there, but it's, he's done a very good job of translating all the quotes and things like that into what would be very difficult in Shakespearean language. But he's done a cracking job of changing things over, really.
Give us a sort of a flavour of the sort of language. We all know the quotes. We all know the lines from Ghostbusters. What would they sound like in proper Shakespeare?
Well, so one of my favourite bits was when we did it as a rehearsed reading back in October. I had to step in at the last minute to play Egon, which I was very happy to do because I'm a lifelong Ghostbusters fan. So it was great for me to actually step in as Egon. And one of my favourite bits is when he actually has to explain the theory behind the Twinkie.
And the
language he's used is fantastic. So I'll give you a little taster of that.
Okay.
So let us say this tart be the standard amount of spiritual fortitude with all London. Given the sample taken this morn, it would be a tart 5 and 30 feet in length, with a weight 30 score pounds. That be a great tart. It's just silly.
This is absolutely brilliant. I absolutely love this idea. This is a really, really cool idea. And you're trying to raise money. You're trying to get this up to the Fringe Festival, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, we've got... basically, we sent out a host of applications to various venues, and none of them turned around and said no. We got responses within... Well, I did it one evening, and I was looking at responses the following morning. Lots of places thinking that this would actually be perfect for the Fringe. And the idea is that, yeah, we want to take it up to the Fringe, get it seen. It's premiering. It's first proper staging of this play is happening at the Edinburgh Fringe, so it's world premiere. And we're going, and basically the idea off the back of it is to tour it and take it to various festivals and to various theatres around the country, hopefully. So we've launched the Indiegogo campaign to help us get there.
This is a great idea. Sam, I am fully on board with this, aren't you? This sounds a perfect reason to go to Edinburgh.
It is a great idea. Have you had a good reception? Because obviously when they remade Ghostbusters and had an all-female cast, they got a bit of stick turning it into Shakespeare. Has that gone down all right with some of the hardcore Ghostbusters?
So one of the biggest people to, when we did the rehearsed reading of it, which we did in as much costume as we could, we did it rough and ready. There was a Shakespearean pun about rough there. But one of the biggest critics in there would have been my one of my older brothers, who's the guy who actually introduced me to Ghostbusters. And throughout the play, I could hear him backstage just chuckling. I could just hear him laughing at it and laughing at how the lines are being presented, because he will always giggle at Ghostbusters no matter what. But he was actually finding more humour in what was going on. I mean, he loved the fact that Slimer, who's become quite a poster boy for Ghostbusters, Slimer has his own speech where Jordan Montell knows what he's doing. He makes reference in the very first line to "In life, I was Sir John Belushi called," as a reference to the fact that John Belushi was in the original draft to Ghostbusters. It was meant to be a time traveling affair with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
And so to have John, we got him reading it. The chap who played him, we got him reading it the style of Brian Blessed, because it just suited the character so well. It was perfect for what it was.
I'm thinking this needs to just go on tour. I think you just need to take this. I think that forget Edinburgh. Let just bring it to Leeds. I'd be more than happy to go along and see this. I think.
Have you added a bit of Shakespeare to the costumes as well?
Oh yeah, no. The costumes are all. I mean, we mixed it up with the. I basically was very, very strict, as with Hayley, that we wanted a 50-50 male-female split with the cast. We managed to narrow it down to eight actors. And we had a female playing Ray, and she was amazing. Helen Fullerton, she's a wonderful actor. She was fantastic. And but yeah, we had the shorter trousers, we had the ruffs, we had doublets, even our proton packs, which are referred to as rough boxes of rough magic in the script, are they were handmade by someone here in Norwich, and they're these wonderful wooden structures with a musket as the actual wand for the proton pack, and they were magnificent things. Well, they still are magnificent things. They're going to be a key thing to us. You'll see us patrolling the streets with these things. Might have to get the musket head cleared off first before we go out into the streets with something that resembles a musket gun. But Jordan, the author, he's had a special proton pack made, which has got a crossbow as the main weapon. So everything, we've tried our hardest to... The script allows us to play around with the Shakespeare idea. And we throw in our own little farcical moments as well. I mean, the terror dogs, for example, we did through shadow puppets. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is referred to as the Puffed Man of Custard.
I was wondering what you were going to do with Stay Puft, actually.
Well, in the original show, or in the original reading that we did, cheeky, someone made a brilliant hat for him. The same style, but it had Puffed Man of Custard written on it. But then for the hand, to give the aspect of size, little inside secret here, we put cushions inside a white boiler suit. And we put our arms in the boiler suit and then wrapped our arms round the side of the set to represent his hand. The problem is that they did that in such a hurry that one of the hands was not in the right place. Those two middle fingers were kind of crossed over. So when they let go, we kind of got this very weird hand movement come back out as he surprisingly let go. But it was really good fun to do. And Hayley herself was in it, playing multiple roles, including Janine and Goza, and she did a wonderful job as Goza, who gets another little speech, much like in a Shakespearean style of, you know, of just like introducing an evil character, just this little bit that she did in All in Low Light, surrounded by candles. So it looked fantastic. Even if I do say so myself.
And if it all goes wrong, and maybe you do encounter an angry crowd up here in Edinburgh, you're well equipped with the muskets and the crossbows.
Oh, yeah,
and
exactly,
you've got like a vigilante group.
Exactly. We're basically, if all goes wrong, then we can just run around Edinburgh wreaking havoc. that's the idea. But the ideas that we've got for Edinburgh is we had the Ray Parker Jr. original song. We've had that transposed into some wonderful Elizabethan music by someone locally here, and it is wonderful. And we've suggested that maybe we get an 80s style boombox, record it on cassette, and then just walk around embracing the fact that it's a film from the 80s with this boombox, handing out the leaflets, because it will get us noticed really quickly.
I think that would. Yeah,
you're going to be releasing that on iTunes.
Oh yeah,
maybe that's the way. Raise the money.
That might be an idea.
It's not
an idea. Get him to rewrite it. Get him to change it a little bit more, just so we don't incur the wrath of Columbia Pictures.
Now, you are our non-sporting sports pundit today, James. Being in Norwich, does that mean you have to be a Canaries fan?
You don't have to be. When I grew up, a lot of people were supporting whoever was big at the time. Manchester United, Newcastle. But I am a Norwich boy, born and bred, so I am an avid Norwich City fan.
How are your thoughts on Norwich this season? 14th in the table at the moment.
14th in the table at the moment. It's a stretch to say that we're gonna get to six, but we are. I think we're a work in progress with Daniel Farke in charge, and he's brought in a lot of German players, and they all look the job. I mean, players like Christoph Zimmermann has just been a revelation. He came from the German fourth division and has just grown as the season's gone on. So yeah, I think from from a Norwich City point of view, it's going to be a stretch to make the playoffs this season, but I think that next season we stand a reasonable chance, especially if all of his signings turn to be as good as players like Tom Tribal, who's unfortunately out for the rest of the season, and Zimmerman have turned out to be. But we're away at Barnsley, and I've been checking to see if this weekend, I believe, and I've been checking to see if the game's still on.
Don't actually know. I would imagine not.
This kind of weather's normal for Barnsley.
Yeah, this is just like it's fine. Wednesday.
He'll still be on. What did you make of the decision to bring in the manager and at the time and then now? Obviously, you took the guy from Huddersfield who brought in David Wagner, and then he kind of set out the same blueprint, bringing a German manager head coach and kind of go for the same approach that worked at Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think it's from Stuart Webber's point of view, it's if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of mentality. It was a blueprint that worked very successfully at Huddersfield very quickly. So I'm excited to see where it goes. I think someone who's come from the same sort of background as Wagner and who did work under Jurgen Klopp as well, I believe. So he knows good football. So it's just a case of, yes, we're not conceding many goals, but we're not scoring them at the moment. That's the next problem. I'm excited about what it could mean. It's just, unfortunately, we've had to endure a bit of a mediocre season in the progress. Yes, it's very nice to get a 95th minute equaliser against Ipswich. but actually, grand scheme of things, there were some Ipswich fans going, taunting Norwich, saying about the fact we were celebrating it like we'd just won promotion against them. There's nothing better than a 95th minute goal that means you don't lose. But you know, we need to stop relying on 90 injury time winners, really, or equalisers, as the case may be with Norwich at the moment.
Now, if people want to find out a little bit more about the Shakespeare version of Ghostbusters, and maybe support you trying to get you up to Edinburgh for the Fringe, how can they do that?
They can go to our our Indiegogo site, which is, hang on, let me just get the link up. Indiegogo is a wonderful website, but at the same time, it does do things like throw
Seize
you
up when you're live on radio.
yeah, it does. It does like to give you about five different links. say, hey, do you want to do this thing? So it is send. It's really confusing. It's send-ministersofgrace-to-edinburgh. But if you just search Ministers of Grace or Red Duck Productions in Indiegogo, it'll bring up the page. But also, I'm happy to share the link if people want to see it.
Yeah, well, we'll share that out. You can follow them on Twitter as well, which is at Red Duck Product, where the duck is a duck at the end.
It's a play on my surname.
James Ducker. There you go. I've just seen that now. Well done. James, it's been an absolute pleasure. Good luck with it. And hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon. Cheers.
Thank you so much, guys.